We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
We're going to read some Bible today. Is that okay? I know Jesse's always going to say yes and amen, but for everybody else, can we read some Bible this morning? Is that okay? Here we go. John 6, verse 7. It's important we look at this today. This is the crux of our conversation. This is where we see the power of our conversation today in God's word. John 6, verse 7. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says something interesting. He says this, "But truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 8. Y'all still with me, by the way? We're going to read a little bit of Bible today, and I want to say this because I don't know if you're like me, but the moment a pastor starts reading more than like three verses, I sometimes tune out and start thinking about lunch or why the Mets are in third place and they should be in first, or about my golf swing. And so if you could, if I'm going to ask us to do our best to engage in this moment, it is very important that we see what God's word has to say about this. Is that okay? Yeah. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, Jesus has died and risen from the grave. And we're going to jump in where Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. It says this, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised.'" What is this gift Jesus is referring to? It's the Holy Spirit, "which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 6, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?'" The disciples are kind of excited. Jesus has died. He's risen from the grave. He's back live in person. And they're thinking, okay, Jesus, what are we going to do? What are we going to do next? Jesus says to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." By the way, if anybody tells you they know when Jesus is coming back, they don't. Can I get an amen? Amen. Verse 8, and then Jesus says this. In context, in reference to Jesus leaving, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth." And then we see this take place in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, y'all still with me? Still getting this? The day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. As the disciples, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. Verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Y'all need to read your Bible more. It's crazy. Verse number 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We are a Spirit-filled church. Verse 37, when the people heard this, so Peter gets up and he preaches, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preaches a message to all these people that are observing and looking at what's taking place. And after Peter is done preaching, verse 37, this takes place. When the people heard this, when they heard his message, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Now watch this. Look what he says next. "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Can we pray? Come on, here in person, online, let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for who you are, Holy Spirit of God. I thank you you're in this service today. God, I thank you that you are in this auditorium. I thank you that you're in every living room of every home where everybody's watching online. Holy Spirit, help me today. God, help me preach your word today. God, I pray that as your church that we would have open hearts and open minds, that we'd be willing, that we'd be hungry for more of you, that we would be willing, God, to receive your truth, your grace, your word, your presence, change, transformation, that we'd be willing to receive your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask for your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. Without it, I am nothing. God, I thank you that you orchestrated every single person to be in church today. It's no accident, no coincidence. You are so glad that every single person is here. God, I thank you that the Jets won a preseason football game as well, and everybody said. Everybody said. Church, I don't know. Thank you, James. Everybody give James a hand. Church, I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like there is a limited supply of good news. Like, it seems like everywhere I look, there's just more bad news. Every news station I turn to, it just seems like there is more bad news, more negativity, more darkness, more division. It seems like every social media outlet I check, it just seems like there is just bad news everywhere. But I want to remind us as the church today that we still have good news. In case you forgot, as followers of Jesus, as the church, we still have good news. This good news that overcomes any other bad news. This good news that we must keep at the forefront of our lives, at the center of our minds, of our spirit, of our soul, of the way that we think and the way that we act. We must keep at the center of how we are living our lives. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of the gospel. We still have good news. Without this good news, this bad news would be overwhelming. But as the church of Jesus Christ, we are not overwhelmed because we still have good news. Jesus is alive. Jesus has overcome the world. Therefore, you have overcome. Amen. Maybe you don't know. Maybe it has slipped your mind. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him." What does whoever means? It means whoever believes in him, whoever in their sin, whoever in their shame, whoever in their guilt, whoever in their past, whoever in their brokenness, whoever, no matter how far you think you are from God, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life with the Father. You can experience his grace, his restoration, his redemption. You can experience what it is to be whole, to be forgiven of your sins, your eternity in heaven. Can I get an amen? We still have good news. Jesus has overcome the world. That should make you at least like smirk if you can't smile. We still have good news. Jesus has overcome. Therefore, no matter what news is going on in your life, you can overcome. But I want to suggest something to you and I today. Sometimes, as followers of Jesus, we miss the entirety of the good news. Good news isn't just, it's not limited to just Jesus dying and raising from the dead. This good news, and as odd as this may sound this morning, this good news also is because Jesus left so someone else could arrive. I've been a parent for almost 4 years now. Liv, our daughter, is 4. Locke, our son, is 1. And I don't know if that means I can add it together, and I've been a parent for 5 years. I don't know if that's like parent math, but there's some things that, as a parent, I've learned. Brooke and I still have absolutely no idea what we're doing. We do not plan on writing a parenting book anytime soon. There's some things that I discovered as a parent, and that sometimes it's difficult to leave our kids somewhere. Sometimes it's not as difficult to leave our kids somewhere. It's something they did not prepare me for. You know that video they make you watch before you leave the hospital? Like, make sure you feed your child. Make sure when you drive in a car, you put them in a car seat. One thing that is not in the video that I think should be is how to handle taking your kid and dropping them off for their first day of school. Parents, I don't know if you experienced this, but I was not ready for the emotional train wreck that would take place. We were so excited. Liv is going to school for the first day, pre-K, whatever it's called, some sort of education. And we take her to school. She's dressed. She's got her backpack and her lunchbox. And Dad's taking her to her first day of school. And she's excited. She's nervous, but she's excited. And we walk into the room, and she meets the teacher, and she sees all the classmates. And she's shy and nervous, but she's also excited, except when she found out that Dad wasn't staying. When she found out, "Sweetie, I've got to go," she lost it. I'm trying not to lose it. I'm wondering, is this okay? Should I leave her here? Should I take her back home with me? She is losing it. I don't know how to handle leaving my daughter on her first day of school. And I just walk away and I go back to my car. I can still hear her screaming, crying. And I'm just trying to hold it together. I get to my car and I'm just a mess. 30 seconds later, Liv was fine. She had the best day of her life. But church, there's other situations where it's so easy to leave my kids. Parents, can I get an amen? Not like forever, just like extended periods of time, like vacation without your kids. Somebody snorted, they were so excited about that. Like, if you have parents, if you've ever had that week where your kids remind you how unsaved they are, like the little devils that they can be sometimes, and you're just ready, you're just waiting for date night. Just excited because you know a babysitter is coming. And you're gonna have maybe 2 hours of freedom. And the babysitter shows up and they walk inside and Brooke, my wife, is showing her the details of what to do, how to feed them. I'm like, "Brooke, let's just go. Just feed the kids, they'll be fine." I'm like, "We need to go, babysitter, you don't understand. Because I'm about to have a 10-minute car drive to this dinner with no whining child in the back seat. And that is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding." Parents, can I get an amen? Sometimes it's easy to leave my kids' places. Sometimes it's hard. And we find this moment in scripture, which just so happens, by the way, to be maybe the most profound moment in history, where Jesus has risen from the grave. He shows himself to the disciples. And they are so excited for what's next. And they ask Jesus, "Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus, what are we going to do next?" And Jesus responds and says, "Well, actually, guys, I'm leaving." You can understand the disciples begin to relate to my daughter Liv on her first day of school. Like, "Wait, Jesus, what do you mean you're leaving? Like, do you not remember you were gone for 3 days? Like, you died? You just got back. You've only been here for like 40 days. What do you?" Jesus essentially says, "Guys, it's not you, it's me. In fact, I have to go so that someone else can arrive." And maybe some of the disciples in that moment go back and remember what Jesus said earlier in John 6, where Jesus says, "But truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you." And so Jesus responds to disciples when they essentially say, "Well, what do you mean you're leaving?" And Jesus reminds them of his purpose of leaving. He responds and says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest part of the earth." And then the disciples find out exactly what Jesus was talking about. In Acts 2, we read it already. I'm going to go down to verse 4. Day of Pentecost. The Bible says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Church, here in person or online campus, please don't miss this, because it's here in this moment we see maybe the most shocking and the most significant change in the life of the disciples. The entirety of the good news that so often Christians miss out on. Because if we look at scripture and we observe the disciples, it is interesting to note the change that takes place before and after Pentecost. For example, one of the many moments before Pentecost where Jesus is arrested and taken into custody and all of his disciples essentially flee in fear. But then the gift of the Holy Spirit fills the disciples and something changes. We see a new boldness in the disciples. We see a new power to witness, to spread the gospel like wildfire all around the earth. We see a boldness to build the early local church in the midst of life and death persecution. History tells us that all but one of the disciples were brutally murdered for their faith, for their boldness, their power to witness, for building the local church. They were crucified, they were beheaded, they were burned. The list goes on. Where did this boldness come from? This power to witness even unto death. Church, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. As I read God's word, I cannot avoid the change. And the disciples, they are different. I love what the great preacher Asa Mahan says. If you could stay with me, I think it's interesting his thoughts on this conversation. He says this: we may take the apostles as examples and contrasting their intellectual, moral, and spiritual states before and after Pentecost. We are staggered to observe a transformation that was scarcely ever paralleled in the previous experience of men. How many times Jesus had sorrowed at their darkness? How many times the Lord had expressed amazement at his disciples' lack of faith? How often he had rebuked them for their limited and dull vision? What a great love they still showed for the world. How little real courage, how small a love they actually had for each other. And how like ropes of sand were all their strong resolutions. But then came Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came upon them. In a moment, they become truly crucified to the world and the world to them. Their weak hearts became strong in the glorious beauty and perfection and might of the risen Christ, so that they became a spectacle of wonder to the world and to the angels and to men. From that day on, they had a clear vision of the kingdom of God. The truth of the gospel blazed in their hearts with a splendid unction. They have witnessed the resurrection in great power. Their preaching brought the world on its knees before God. You may be in church today here on our online campus, and you may be wondering, well, who is the Holy Spirit? If you're taking notes, I want to encourage you maybe to write some of these things down. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is fully divine, the Holy Spirit. He is fully divine, a distinct individual, and active in the world to convict us of our need for God, as well as comfort, teach, and lead us in the direction of God's will, giving us power and boldness to reach our world for the cause of Christ. We need to ask the question, well, what is the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit? We know that as Christians, we are born of the Spirit. We're born again. We're born of the Spirit, and we give our lives to Jesus. But what is the purpose of being filled, being baptized with the Holy Spirit? Number one is boldness. Number two, it gives us a renewed understanding of God's word. It awakens God's word to you and I. Thirdly, it allows us to lean closer to his voice. It allows us to pray more effectively. It changes our devotion time. Fourthly, it gives us the power to witness, to reach our city for the cause of Christ. We need to ask the question, well, how do we receive this gift? Number one is you're saved. Number two, and this is what I love, is you're willing. Thirdly, we pray and we ask. We see in God's word this take place time and time again. As the apostles, as pastors prayed for people, laid hands on people, and they were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Another important question to ask, well, how do we know we received it? We see in Scripture the constant evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, a heavenly prayer language. How many people know we are a Spirit-filled church? Can I get an amen? Amen. This heavenly prayer language is the perfect will of God. You ever been in that situation in life and you just don't know what to pray? Oh, it's just me. You ever been there? You just don't know what to pray? That's when we pray. in this heavenly prayer language, and the Holy Spirit prays through us the perfect will of God. The devil hates this gift because he cannot understand this heavenly prayer language. The Bible also says as we pray and speak in tongues, this heavenly prayer language, that we edify ourselves. You edify your spirit man. You edify your spirit woman. We need to ask the question, well, who's it for? Who's this gift for? I was in a golf tournament recently. I love golf. I think I might have an addiction to golf. And I can't prove it yet, but I'm trying really hard biblically to show that golf will be in heaven. Can I get an amen? I like golf tournaments, you know, like the big fundraiser golf tournaments, because there's typically prizes and raffles. I like prizes. Who doesn't like prizes? And in these raffles, you know, you pay for a ticket and then you can win something. In this golf tournament in particular, Davey was also, was in this golf tournament, we're on the same team, and the raffle tickets were $10. So we bought a raffle ticket each. Or actually, Davey bought two and I forgot. So I took one of his and I Apple Paid him $10. And we're sitting down and they start saying the prizes, but the reason we got the raffle ticket and spent $10 is because the last prize was you got to stay in a house in the Outer Banks for a whole week. This amazing, beautiful home. You got to stay in it for free for a whole week. I'm like, sign me up. And so they start going through the prizes and we're kind of hoping and praying a little bit that we don't win those because we want our raffle ticket to be called for the house in the Outer Banks. And then it gets closer and closer. And we're like, we start convincing ourselves. I don't know if you do this when you're like in a raffle or maybe you bought a lottery ticket and you start like planning what you're going to buy if you win. Like you start creating a budget of the things that you're going to do. Convinced that you're going to win, but only one person wins. And so we're getting closer and closer and they finally get to the last prize and Davey and I's ticket still hadn't been called. And then she says, and by the way, this house sleeps 27 people. I'm like, Davey, dude, if you win, I'm coming with my family. If I win, you're coming with my family. We'll just invite everybody. And church, would you believe Davey didn't win? And I'm here to tell you, I didn't win either. Some other random guy did. Because only one person can win that raffle. And it's important we understand as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit isn't just some special raffle where only a few people win. This gift, the Holy Spirit of God, is for everyone. It is not just raffle winners. It is willing winners. Anybody that is willing, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Church, y'all still with me? I look back at my own life and I cannot help but see the radical change in my own life with my journey of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of being led by the Spirit. One of the things I'm going to talk about in a moment is just the power of sharing our own story. And if you would allow me, I'm just going to take a moment and share a bit of my story. Because I found myself as a 17-year-old kid, and I love Jesus and I love the church, but I found myself in a place where I was very frustrated with my Christian walk. Because I could vividly look back at my time in my high school. I was about to be a senior, and I was frustrated because the more that I read God's word, the closer that I got to Jesus, the more that I understood how good this gospel is, how good this news is. And if it's this good, God, if it's this good, God, if you are real, if heaven is real and hell is real and you really saved and rescued humanity, then God, I cannot keep this to myself anymore. God, I cannot spend another year in my high school just blending in. God, I want to be on fire for you. And I'll never forget that summer we made the decision. Some friends of mine and myself, we just said, we're going to pray this summer like we've never prayed before. Holy Spirit of God, fill us again. We were hungry. We were desperate for the presence of God. And we started praying in this prayer spot. It's right over there in the parking lot next to the church, which, by the way, it's my prayer spot. You can't take it. I call dibs. We started praying, started crying out to God. Holy Spirit, fill me again. God, use me in this last year of high school. God, I read your word and I see the power and the boldness of your disciples. And God, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Church, it was in this moment, praying in the presence of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit again, that I heard for myself. The Holy Spirit speak to me, say, Josh, I've called you to preach the gospel. Not just because your parents are pastors and preachers, not just because you grew up in church, but I have created you to preach my word. I heard for myself. It was in this moment as I was started praying that dangerous prayer, Holy Spirit, use me. The Holy Spirit answered my question. Said, Josh, I want you to start a Bible study in your high school. I immediately was like, hold on. Not that type of boldness. I remember I went straight to my community group leader at the time. He was there praying with us. I said, I need to tell you this because if I don't tell you, I know I won't do it. You know, I found in my journey with the Holy Spirit, it's not even as much that the Holy Spirit gave me boldness. It's that he allowed me to see differently, to see my school differently, and gave me an opportunity to be bold. Could it be that the Holy Spirit had been speaking to me to start a Bible study my first year of high school? I simply started taking the time to be willing and listen. And so I'll never forget, we walked in and Davey Dworsky, we have a lot of, I don't know if you guys can tell, we're like BFS, we have a lot of stories together. We knew each other, went to high school together. We prayed that summer together and we went to school and I told Davey and there was maybe three or four other people that came to church that went to our high school, like, okay, we're gonna do this together. And so I walk into the cafeteria and I'm terrified. I walk into the cafeteria, I walk up to a security guard in the cafeteria and I said, hey, his name was LB. I said, hey, LB, my name's Josh. He's like, I know who you are. I said, we're going to have a Bible study every Friday. The Holy Spirit gave me a strategy. It was every Friday. We were seniors, so we had fourth block off every Friday. So one Friday would be A day. Another Friday would be B day. And we'd have our Bible study in the cafeteria on every Friday. And I went to the LB, the security guard, and said, hey, we're going to do a Bible study. I was just wondering if I could, you know, we're talking about Jesus, if I could just let everybody know, thinking he would say no. He looked at me and he handed me the microphone and said, that's cool, here's the microphone. I said, LB, hold on a second. I don't know if you heard what I just said. We're gonna talk about Jesus. We're gonna have a Bible study. He said, I heard what you said, you didn't stutter, here's the microphone. So I get up and I get everybody's attention and just simply tell people, hey, my name's Josh and Jesus changed my life and we're gonna have a Bible study over here and pizza and over here in the corner and we're gonna do this every Friday. So if you wanna come and hang out and listen, we'd love for you to join us. Week one, nobody came. And so I just preached to the three or four friends as if everybody was listening. A week two goes by and nobody comes and people are making fun of us. People throw food at us and we ate it. Can I get an amen? And third week goes by, nobody comes. Fourth week goes by, no one. And I remember every week we would go back and pray on Thursday nights and we would wake up on early on Friday to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me again. I was sick to my stomach every Friday. God, give me the boldness to preach to nobody listening again. And I cried out to God after 4 weeks and said, Holy Spirit, why would you ask me to do this if nobody's gonna listen? I said, Josh, this isn't about you. Just keep doing what I asked you to do. Church, that Sunday night, my dad asked me to speak, Pastor Steve, for the first time on a Sunday night. I never preached in church before. I preached at a cafeteria. People got called to ISS on my altar calls. First time speaking, and I get up to speak, and what I didn't realize is LB was listening to our Bible study those 4 weeks, just waiting to see if we would keep showing up. So he found out what church we went to, and as I give the altar call that night, guess who the first one is down the front giving his life to Jesus? LB, that security guard. Little did I know that LB would be the greatest evangelist in our school. People started coming to listen to hear me speak, not because I was good at talking, because LB told them to come. He was telling everybody in the cafeteria, you need to come over here, at least eat some pizza and hear them talk about Jesus. Track athletes that you helped coach, you brought them over. By the end of the year, there was over about 40 students that every Friday would come listen to us talk about Jesus. We prayed for people to be saved, to be healed. I'll never forget, as we continued to pray that year, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Josh, I want you to speak to your principal. I said, say what? He said, I'll tell you when you get there. How often the Holy Spirit works this way. I went to Dave. I said, all right, we gotta go. I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me we gotta go talk to the principal. I'll never forget, we sat in the administration's office and Davey looked at me. He said, Josh, what are you gonna say? I said, Davey, I don't know. Church, the principal came out to meet us. He looked at us, he said, Josh, Davey, I know who you are. And I know what you've been doing in my school. And I thought he was gonna shut it down. He said, I'm really glad you asked for this meeting because my family and I have been looking for a church to go to. And I was wondering if we could go to your church. I said, no, that's not how it works. I have to invite you first. Let's do this again. The Holy Spirit reminded me again and again, Josh, this isn't about you. That principal said, Josh, why don't we set up an event at the end of the year after school for anybody who wants to hear what you've been talking about. And we can tell, we can ask and we can invite people to come. And we had an event at the end of the year to talk about Jesus. We get closer to the end of the year and we continue to pray every week, just crying out, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Holy Spirit, use me again. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and reminded me of something that I had been choosing to ignore. Said, Josh, at the end of the year, I want you to get up in front of the entire cafeteria and I want you to share the gospel. And church, I did not want to do that. For a couple of reasons. One is I was terrified. Two, I'm not a big fan of somebody just getting up to talk about something if you weren't invited to. I'm not a huge fan of the street preacher concept. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Josh, I want you to get everybody, I want you to get everybody's attention. I want you to share the gospel with everybody in the cafeteria. And I remember the night before in my prayer spot, in my Nissan Pathfinder, crying out to God. God, I don't know if I can do this. And by the way, God, like, hasn't this been enough? Like, we've had a Bible study in the cafeteria. People have gotten saved. People have been healed. Students are coming to church. My principal came to church. God, isn't this enough? Holy Spirit reminded me again and said, Josh, this isn't about you. I mean, I am ugly crying in my Nissan Pathfinder. The next day, we go to the lunch, the last lunch of the year. We walk in, and some of my friends were there who'd been in this Bible study. I'm terrified. And I put my head, as we walk into the cafeteria, LB's like ready, gives me the microphone. I put my head down on the table one more time. I cried out to God one more time. Holy Spirit, I don't know if I can do this. Holy Spirit reminded me again, Josh, this isn't about you. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Church, I got up and got everybody's attention. Everybody already knew who we were. This is the Bible guy. Get everybody's attention, and as I go to share the gospel, as it goes quiet, this little kid, this little pipsqueak, I say pipsqueak because he was smaller than me, and that's small. And he stands up and he looks at me and he begins to curse at me and begins to curse about Wave Church, and I freeze in fear. And I start to have this internal conversation with the Holy Spirit. Like, really? I ugly cried in front of you last night. And you said this wasn't about me. Well, what about him? Church, I am frozen in fear. And before I could say anything else, one of the biggest football players in our school stood to his feet and he looked at me and I thought he was gonna join in. I'm like, this is over. He looks at me and he looks at the little pipsqueak and he says, hey, sit down and shut up. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I was over 6 feet tall. I was like, yeah, kid, sit down, shut up. Little did I know that football player was listening to our Bible study the entire year. Church, I stand up and I share the gospel for maybe 40 seconds. I was so nervous. And I wish I could tell you that people came running to my feet. Oh, prophet whom we've been waiting for. Didn't happen. Maybe a couple of awkward claps and we left. And I remember leaving just knowing that the Holy Spirit had asked me to do it. Church, 5 years later, I'm in a meeting here, a church meeting. It's called Meet the Team. And this is a meeting where if you're new to Wave Church, we used to have this meeting, we do it different now, but if you're new to Wave Church, you'd come to Meet the Team and you meet our pastors, and Pastor Stephen Sherrod would talk about who we are as a church and our vision and where we're going. And at the end of these Meet the Teams, Pastor Steve would always ask, how did you come to church? We love hearing, how did you come to church? People would raise their hand. Oh, a friend brought me, or I drove by the building, or I Googled you on the internet and found you. And I'm sitting in this meeting 5 years after I shared the gospel in my cafeteria. 5 years later, a young lady raises her hand. She says, "Pastor Steve, it's been a bit of an interesting time for me in my life this last 6 months to a year. And I remembered this kid who talked about Jesus in my cafeteria and talked about this church that would welcome me, that I could belong to. Pastor Steve, that's why I'm here today. That's why I gave my life to Jesus. Pastor Steve, I think he's your son." And I'm like trying to hold it together. The Holy Spirit reminding me again as I meet this amazing young woman named Mariah, who 5 years later, the Holy Spirit reminded her of an insecure kid who for but a moment had the boldness to share the gospel, that she would remember 5 years later, come to church, go through our Bible college, marry an amazing man in our church. They have a beautiful baby together. The Holy Spirit reminded me in that moment as I'm sitting in this Meet the Team meeting, said, "Josh, remember when I told you this wasn't about you? When you were crying in your Nissan Pathfinder, I was thinking about Mariah 5 years later. Who would remember this moment?" Church, there has been often times where I hear the Holy Spirit speak and I have failed. I don't know if you've been there. How often I fail. When I went to Old Dominion University, and I'm praying, continue to pray, "Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, use me." Got a witness to this college, and I'll never forget, I saw this blind girl walking through the campus, and the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks and said, "Josh, I want you to pray for her." I remember thinking, "What? I want you to pray for her." I said, "Were you gonna like heal her? Can you give me a heads up?" So, "Josh, I want you to pray for her." Saw her the first time, didn't do it. Saw her 2, 3, 4, 5 more times. Every time I saw her, the Holy Spirit would speak to me, "Josh, I want you to pray for a church." I never prayed for her. There are times where I've heard from the Holy Spirit and I have failed. I've realized the Holy Spirit is always speaking, is always talking, and loves to speak in inconvenient times. I remember driving in my car, it was a couple years ago, and it was pouring rain. And I'm on my way to go home before going to our youth services when I was a youth pastor, and I was preaching that night, and I needed to go home to finish preparing my message and preach that night, and it's pouring rain, and I look over to my left, or I'm at a stoplight, and I see this homeless family walking with two kids with groceries in their hand, no umbrella, and they're walking in the pouring rain, and this was my first thought, was surely somebody's gonna pick them up. I gotta go to church. And I look around, I'm having this conversation in my car with myself, like, and these people, I'm like, "Guys, we all see them. Like, who's gonna pick them up?" Nobody does, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, said, "Josh, you are." I said, "Holy Spirit, I gotta go to youth. I gotta preach. I'm a pastor." He said, "Exactly, you're gonna pick them up." Roll down my window and I ask them, "Do you guys need a ride?" And they're instant relief in their eyes, and they run over, jump in the car, and this was a very unique situation. It was not hard to see the brokenness in this family. These two little kids, and I asked them, "Well, where are we going?" They said, "We just need to go to a bus stop at Shore Drive." So we drive down to Shore Drive, and we keep driving down to Shore Drive, and we keep going further down to Shore Drive, and we're thinking, like, where is this bus stop? We get to the bus stop and there's no shelter and it's still pouring rain. And I already know what the Holy Spirit's gonna say. "You're gonna take them home." I remember thinking, I'm gonna be late. The Holy Spirit's like, "Whose timeline are you on?" And church, the dad began to ask me questions about what I do. We started to talk about religion. I was able to share the gospel with this man. But the more that I pray for that family, the more that I believe that the conversation of the gospel was for those two little kids, I have not stopped praying for those two little kids. So, where are we gonna go? So, there's no shelter, so I'm gonna take you guys home and drive all the way into Deep Ocean View and I drop them off. I found the Holy Spirit oftentimes speaks in inconvenient times. Just recently, I was in a church meeting and there was a pastor giving out encouraging words. I don't know if you've ever been in a church service where somebody's giving encouraging words and you're like, man, I'd love to get one of those. I remember thinking to myself, like, man, I could really use an encouraging word right now. And in this church meeting, the Holy Spirit stopped me. And it was like it was just me and God. The Holy Spirit said to me, Josh, more than anything that a person can tell you, I'm proud of you. This last year, how you've handled ministry, Josh, I'm proud of you. And at the same time, when the Holy Spirit was encouraging me, he was also convicting me. He said, Josh, I want to take you deeper into your relationship with the Father, and there's some things that I need to address in your life. Church, I guess what I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit has radically changed my life. It has kept me from sitting on the convenient, comfortable couch of Christianity. It has enabled me, if for moments, to live out the verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It has given me a boldness to share his word, a power and a zeal to tell my story. How Jesus has changed my life. And so I wonder, church, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Is the power of God working in your life? Is there Holy Spirit boldness in you? You say, well, Josh, I'm saved. Yes, friend, but God has more. I love the moment in scripture in Acts chapter 8 where the apostles hear about the Samaritans, these people in Samaria who had given their lives to Jesus, and the apostles hear about it. These people were saved. They gave their life to Jesus, and they ask the people who gave the report, and say, well, were they filled with the Holy Spirit? And they said, no. And the apostles sent Peter and John to travel to go pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love, the Bible shows us the apostles acknowledged that they were saved, but they were not content enough to just leave it there. And they sent Peter and John to travel to make sure that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, there is more. There is more. And my prayer today that as a church community, as a church family, that we would have a new hunger and a greater desire for the things of God, a new hunger for the Holy Spirit to be filled for the first time or to be filled again. To have a boldness to share the gospel, a zeal to share your story. See, here's the thing, church, that this is what the world needs. The Bible says that we defeat the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And too often I see Christians bold with anything but the gospel. Our opinions, our arguments on things that don't reach people. And church, the world actually doesn't need your opinion on the vaccine. The world doesn't need your political argument on Facebook, and all those things are fine, but may we never forget what the world needs more than anything else is to hear how Jesus changed your life. They need to hear your story. Did Jesus really save you? Did Jesus really pick you up out of your sin and give you a hope and give you a future and give you a purpose again? Did Jesus really change you, and can he change me? That's what the world needs. Did Jesus really change your life? If he did, can he change mine? And church, can I remind us? Can I maybe give us some perspective of the honor and privilege we have in this great nation to be bold in sharing the gospel with no real consequence? Right now is... we sit comfortably in church. There are Christians around the world who are being persecuted for their faith, who are being persecuted for their boldness of sharing the gospel, for meeting as a church. Right now in Afghanistan, pastors and churches and Christians are being hunted. Yes. Phones are being searched to see if they have the Bible app on their phone. Church, what a privilege we have as followers of Jesus in this great nation to be bold in sharing the gospel, to have power in sharing our story with no real consequence. And I pray that we are a church that is filled again with the Holy Spirit. And more than being unashamed of our sports team, and more than being unashamed of our political perspective, may more than anything we be unashamed of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the story of how he changed your life. What I do know is the devil does not want you experiencing or understanding or being led or filled by the Holy Spirit, because he knows the gift that it is. As we close, because at the end of today's service, we're going to pray for anybody that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that wants this gift. We're a Spirit-filled church. Can I get an amen? Whether you want to be filled for the first time or whether you need to be filled again. At 9 a.m., many people came. We're going to take time at the end of service to do that. But before we do, I thought about reasons why we don't receive this gift. Reasons why we maybe are hesitant to the Holy Spirit. Number one is maybe we just don't know. We don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Number two is maybe we just don't understand yet. Maybe today is the first time you've ever heard about the Holy Spirit, this gift, this heavenly language. I want to encourage you, if you're intrigued, you want to know more, Pastor Steve has written a book on the Holy Spirit. Pastor Steve is, at least from, I know I'm biased, but I think one of the greatest teachers on the Holy Spirit. Buy that book. Begin to understand the Holy Spirit in your life. Another reason maybe we don't receive this gift is because we've had a bad church experience. I've been there. Another reason maybe is because we just think it's crazy. And to give some context, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, biblically speaking, you have control. So you don't have to be concerned like, man, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, am I going to go to work and just out of nowhere start speaking in tongues? Everybody's going to think I'm crazy. No, you have control. In church, this gift is not crazy. The Holy Spirit is not crazy. Look around. The world is crazy and getting crazier. And the Holy Spirit enables you and I to change this crazy world. And so as we're going to do a couple more things, but at the end of the service, if you are hungry for more, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to come down the front and we're just going to pray for you. I can already sense the Holy Spirit moving in this place. But before we do that, before we can experience the gift of the Holy Spirit, we must first experience and receive the gift of salvation. I wonder if you're here today, church, you've heard about this good news. Jesus. Heard about this God who so loves you that he sent his son Jesus to die, to raise from the dead, so you can be forgiven of your sins, so you can know what it is to be in relationship with him, your eternity in heaven, to be made whole, to fill that void that we try to fill with everything in the world, but it never works. Friend, do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to him? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm gonna ask us as a church, if you're a Christian, come on, let's begin to pray. Come on, if you're filled with the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to stir your faith. You say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Friend, do it with boldness today. If that's you, say, Josh, when I count to three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. One. You say, yeah, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Friend, no matter how young, no matter how old, we are all in need of a Savior, no matter how good or how bad. Friend, do not leave this service today without knowing that your eternity is in heaven. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Already, three people online have made decisions to follow Jesus. If you're watching online, you can continue to press that button. Come on, church, continue to pray. Two, if you're in this room today and if you're being honest with yourself here and online, if you're being honest with yourself, you've walked away from God. You are backslidden. Friend, the good news is God is not angry. God is not mad, but
here today and he looks at you and he's smiling and he says, welcome home again. We serve the God of as many chances as you and I need. Three, if that's you, quickly raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Two hands there, another hand there, another hand there, another two hands up there. I see your two hands back there. Another hand there, 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 there. Another two hands over there, another hand there, another hand there. Anybody else, another hand there. Once I've seen it, you can put it down online. Continue to click that button. Friend, if you want to surrender your life to him, you see your need to surrender your life to him, if that's you, I'm just going to wait a moment longer. Anybody else, just wave it high enough and long enough for me to see it. Anybody else, just want to wait a moment longer. Anybody else? I see your hand. Amazing. Church, can we lift our eyes together? Can we give a huge shout of praise? Come on, church, can we celebrate? Can we give a huge shout of praise? We're going to say a prayer that we say every single week, a prayer that changes everything. It may not change everything out there, but it changes everything in here where it really matters. So we're going to say this prayer together here and online, our online campus, before we hand back to our online campus pastors. We're going to say this prayer as a church family. Can we do that together, church? Come on, can we do that together? Let's say this prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, forgiving me of my sins, raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. I'm gonna follow you. And everybody said, amen. One more time. Come on, let's celebrate every single person.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.